Message from last week. I preached to you about God's blue robes of forgiveness. That Jesus is the fulfillment of that Old Testament high priest. That in those blue robes that he wore, hallelujah, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, there was a spiritual message there. She was reaching out and touching the blue fringes, the blue and the purple and the scarlet pomegranates. Of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And then the bells. Hallelujah. Touching those bells with her voice of faith, she began to believe in the Lord. And I believe she spoke to herself. Sister Jones, she spoke to herself as she crawled to get to where Jesus was. I can do it. If I can just reach the hem of His garment, I'll find my healing. And so, church, this morning, I want to continue that thought as we go into this message this morning. I want to continue the thought that is about that blue robe of the high priest that Jesus is wearing as our high priest. But remember, church, someday He's going to lay them priestly robes down and put on His kingly robe. And you can touch the hem of His garment, hallelujah, while He's still your high priest. We need to access as much of that high priest robe as we can. And He's called you and me to be kings and priests unto God. That's why He washed you in His blood. And so, as priests, we better have on our garments. Amen? We better be wearing our blue robes of forgiveness so that when someone comes against us, we forgive as Jesus forgave. That also, hanging around our garments ought to be the bells, the golden bells of our praise to God. Praise the Lord. So with me, would you stand and let's turn into the Scriptures. I want to get our Scriptures this morning from the book of Exodus, chapter 39. And then we're going to get our New Testament bread from the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I want to read and pull these two portions of Scripture together. Hallelujah. If you can, stand with me and let's read in the Scriptures, beginning in Exodus 39. If you're in Exodus, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Exodus 39, beginning in verse 22, and this tells us about the robe of the high priest and how that it was to be made. And he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue. And there was a hole in the midst of the robe, as the hole of a habergeon, with a band around about the hole that it should not rend. And they made upon the hems of the robe pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet and twined linen. And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe round about between the pomegranates. A bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate round about the hem of the robe to minister in as the Lord commanded Moses. Hallelujah. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our heavenly high priest and the robes that he wears?
Amen.
Turn with me now to Colossians 3 and 1. You and I had better be showing a reflection of our Lord Jesus Christ with our priestly garments. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you are grateful for the robes of salvation?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That you're covered in His blood. But I want you to know you better have those bells on your garments. You better have those pomegranates of blue. Hallelujah, of scarlet and of purple around about your garments. Amen. Because there's going to be many folks you come through in life who might be needing to touch a hem of your garment and find forgiveness from you and maybe even healing from you. Colossians chapter 3, are you there with me?
Amen.
3 and beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. Amen. Does everybody know what that word mortify means? That literally means, when it's translated from the Greek back into the English, it means be a mortician. Who are you going to be a mortician over? Not your neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your son, not your daughter, not your in-laws or your outlaws. You got to be a mortician for yourself. You got to lead you to the cross of Calvary to be crucified with Christ. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Hallelujah. How many of you can say, I've been buried with Christ, risen with Him in newness of life? Hallelujah. I don't have that anymore. We mortified the old body. Amen. Can somebody say, praise God, I don't have fornication anymore. Amen. Praise God. Can somebody say, praise God, I don't deal with uncleanness anymore. Amen. Can somebody say, praise God, I don't have inordinate affections. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Can somebody say, praise God, I don't have covetousness or idolatry in my life anymore. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Lord's still wanting to deal with you. Are you ready for the rest of the verses? For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now, everybody say, but now. Now you know that means right now. That means today, present tense, where you are right now. But now ye also put off these things, all these. Anger, everybody say anger.
Anger.
Wrath. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Well, Pastor, I don't tell dirty jokes. That's good. But you know you can have other filthy communication coming out of your mouth other than dirty jokes?
That's right.
Uh-oh. Lie not one to another. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Can somebody say hallelujah? You got to put off those old works, and you got to put on the robes of righteousness, which looks a whole lot like the robes Jesus wore. You got to pray with me. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your holy and righteous Word. Oh God, I pray that the seeds of truth that are found in Your Word, oh God, would find its place and its way into the fallow grounds of our heart that have been plowed by the Spirit of God this morning. And Lord, I pray, oh, that it'll be watered by the Spirit, Lord. It'll be watered by the truth. Oh Lord, that it might spring forth into new life, bringing forth fruit upward and root downward, for the glory of God and for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you shout amen?
Amen?
Praise God. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for a little while this morning about our joy bells of praise. Hallelujah. Again, as I bring up the blue robes of the high priest, and that blue represents forgiveness. The hem of that robe, again, it was covered with the golden bells, the blue tassels, the purple, and the scarlet pomegranates that were evenly spaced with a bell in between every one. And those different colors represents the forgiveness, the mercy, and the love of God. The blue of His forgiveness. The purple of His royal mercy. The scarlet color, hallelujah, a picture of His blood that covers our sin when we find forgiveness and mercy. Hallelujah. But church, we can't forget the golden bells. The high priest, he wore the robes as he went about his daily duties and the daily work of the ministry. And the Bible tells us that as he walked and as he worked in the sanctuary, even if you could not see him, you could hear him. Hallelujah. How many of you sometimes walk through life and you feel like nobody sees you? Amen. Oh, but if you're walking with Jesus, if you're talking with Jesus, if you're covered in the robes, hallelujah, of His glorious blood, along the hems, those blood-washed garments, there are going to be golden bells of praise that your life ought to be shining forth. Hallelujah. Your life ought to be an epistle that is read of men. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, folks ought to see how much of Jesus you got in your life. Hallelujah. And when Jesus is on the inside, how many of you believe He's going to be working on the outside? Hallelujah. Oh, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, your joy bells of praise ought to be ringing every time you take a step. Hallelujah. The high priest didn't try to quiet those bells. Hallelujah. He didn't think it was out of character for those bells to be ringing with every performance of his duty. Hallelujah. And you and I, we ought not think it strange how to be singing praises unto God, making melody in our hearts to the Lord in praise unto Him. Hallelujah. Every step ought to be with a step with a praise. Our joy bells of praise ringing out to God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you washed me in that glorious and righteous blood. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, that you pulled me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Oh, thank you, Lord, that you pulled me out of sin. Hallelujah. You set me up on a rock by your side so that I shall not be moved. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for washing me in your glorious righteous blood that I might be redeemed unto you, that I might be a king and a priest unto God by your glorious and righteous blood. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been called to be priests, church. We've been called to be priests. Oh, sometimes we want to hear the part about the king. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's good. We've been called to be kings and priests. Oh, and they want to, folks sometimes want to focus on being kings. Amen. Oh, I'm a child of the king. Oh, that makes me a king too. That makes me a prince. Hallelujah. Oh, but he called you to be a priest. And the priest must be continually doing the duties of the work of God. And it must first begin, church, in your life. It must first begin when you begin to crucify your flesh. When you begin to sacrifice the things in your life that you know is not like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That Brother Mark was talking about. Oh, that we had that little box with a red button on it, brother. Hallelujah. We can just go bing and it's done, man. We don't have to worry about it no more. Oh, but hallelujah, are you glad? Oh, that Jesus said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we will confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, can somebody get excited about Jesus and what He's done for you? Oh, praise God. He didn't think, that high priest didn't think it was out of character for the bells to be ringing. Hallelujah. Our garments that we're wearing of the salvation of the Lord. Oh, our walk with the Lord. It ought to be ringing out praises from those bells of praise from our new spiritual robe and garments. And I want to remind you this, church, if you're not ringing out bells of praise from your new spiritual garments, that's because you may have laid them aside and put back on the old garments of the flesh. I want to remind you, as Paul reminded the church at Colossae, he said, take off, put off those works of the flesh and put on those garments of light. Put on the armor of righteousness. Put on the robes. Hallelujah. That'll be singing as you walk with the Lord, as you talk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Those joy bells will begin ringing out in your life. Those joy bells of praise will begin to shout praise unto God. Hallelujah. Somebody praise Him.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Our garments with the walk with the Lord ought to be ringing out praise. Hallelujah. Ain't that right, Brother Major? Our life ought to be ringing out a praise to God with every step. Hallelujah. We ought to be entering into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Oh, somebody's, Pastor, why we got to be praising Him all the time? Because He gave me beauty for ashes. Hallelujah. You ain't beautiful. I know it. But He gave me, He said He beautified the meek with salvation. Woo, somebody say hallelujah. Maybe no, you ain't got to be beautiful in the world standard to be beautiful in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. If you got the robe of righteousness on, you're covered in the blood of Jesus, God's dear Son. I want you to know you're beautiful in the eyes of God. I don't care what the world thinks. Hallelujah. I never used their standard to judge my life by. Why would we start now? Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, He gave me beauty for ashes. Oh, he took something beautiful and made something beautiful out of a life that was broken, out of a life that was messed up, out of a life that was walking its own way. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Hallelujah. We were headed to death, hell, and destruction. But then Jesus came searching for us. And he said, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. So he gave us beauty for ashes. He gave us the oil of joy instead of mourning. He gave us the garments of praise in place of the spirit of heaviness. Oh, praise God. Church, we ought to be praising him because he gave us the beauty of his salvation. We ought to be praising him because he gave us the joy of his salvation. We ought to be praising him because he took away that spirit of heaviness and gave us a light, hallelujah, light spirit. Oh, he said, come unto me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the robes and the burden of sin, the robes and the burden of the world, it is heavy. It is heavy and you cannot bear it. Hallelujah. But Jesus has a light burden, the burden of the cross. He said, if any man will follow me, if any man will come after me, oh, he said, let him follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself. Are you glad, hallelujah, you found Jesus? Are you glad he found you? Are you glad he took away that heavy load you could not bear and gave you a light and easy load that you could bear? Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. You see, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Hallelujah. That's when those bells begins to represent the sound of the voice of the believer. Hallelujah. And Paul was dealing with the sins that doth so easily beset the church at Colossae. And he said, you put off fornication. You put off all those sins that are so obvious in the eyes of others. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, you're not drunkards anymore. Oh, you're not out there wasting your life. Oh, you're not whoremongers anymore. Oh, you're not idolaters anymore. Oh, you're not out there just totally blowing your life away. You're now walking in the straight and narrow. He says, but now that you got rid of that, let's dig a little deeper and get rid of some of that other stuff. Stuff that men cannot see, but God does. And those are the things we got to begin to work on, church. And he goes into description of what these things are. He said these are sometimes revealed as anger. Sometimes it's revealed as wrath. Sometimes it's revealed as malice. And then if we're not careful, church, our anger will become wrath. Our wrath will become malice. And then our malice will turn into blasphemy. And then we'll have nothing but filthy communication coming out of our mouth. Oh, out of the mouth that ought to be ringing forth the bells of praise of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Hallelujah. That old tongue of the old man has been allowed to get back into power again in your life. And instead of singing about the blood and praising God for his salvation, oh, you're doing something about somebody else. You're so busy looking at somebody else's life. You're so busy trying to pick and find the little splinter in your brother's eye. You've overlooked the log that is in your own eye. Oh, and you better start walking and talking with Jesus again and put off those works of the flesh and begin to put on those robes of righteousness. Oh, washed in the blood again, so that those bells on your priestly robe will be ringing out the praises of the King.
Yes, Lord.
Will somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody shout him and give him praise. Whoo! Oh, those bells ought to be ringing out the praises of God, praising Him for His mercy, praising Him for His grace, praising Him for His forgiveness, praising Him for His precious blood, which washes away all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Church, I'm telling you, as Brother Cliff was saying as he was singing,
This world is so full of wrath. This world is so full of anger. It's like it's beginning to build up to this crescendo. It's this massive pile of explosives. And all it needs is one little match. And it'll just set things off. Oh, listen, while we're living in this world of anger, while we're living in this world, in this place of sin and wrath, church, don't let that sin and wrath get into you. Hallelujah. Keep yourself covered in the robes of Jesus' righteousness. Keeping your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. From every spot, from every wrinkle, and from every blemish. Hallelujah. So that you'll know that you're ready. That when the trumpet sounds, hallelujah, and the Lord Himself shall descend with a shout. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And if you're alive and remaining in Christ Jesus, you'll go with them in the air to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, praise God, church. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves sinning with our lips. I find it interesting that as I begin to do some study and some deeper in-depth digging into this about the blue and the pomegranates, about the bells. It is also said to the children of Israel that these ornaments on the bottom of the high priest's garments were to remind us that words from our lips were like those bells ringing out. Amen? Hallelujah. And recognize that there's a bell and there's a pomegranate. There's a bell and there's a pomegranate. Hallelujah. Reminding us that we ought to be praising Him for each one of those things as He brings them into remembrance in our life. Praise Him for His forgiveness. Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His grace. Hallelujah. Praise Him for the blood that washes away every sin stain and puts you back into right relationship with God again. Oh, somebody ought to praise Him right now for the blood. Somebody ought to praise Him right now for His mercy. Somebody ought to praise Him right now for His grace. Somebody ought to be praising Him right now for His forgiveness. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, as the high priest would be allowing those bells to ring out. Oh, it is also said this, that when with our old flesh, if we fail to crucify the old flesh, and our lips begin to ring out curses instead of praises, that we begin to sin with our lips. And in the Old Testament Jewish custom, they say this, those three different things on the bottom of those garments in between those bells. Here's what it represented to them also. When we sin with our lips, when our bells are ringing off of the old man's garment and not off the new creation in Christ Jesus, we're sinning toward God first. We're sinning toward the ones we are saying evil things about. And lastly, we're sinning to the ones that we are telling the story to. We are sinning to the ones who are hearing it. Oh, church, you recognize that if the bells of your mouth are not ringing out praises unto God, they're going to be ringing out curses unto men. Oh, are you hearing me, church? And what did the book of James tell us? Come on, turn with me to the book of James. You need these verses. I won't preach to you, but I'm also going to teach you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, the tongue is a fire in chapter 3, verse 6. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. Can somebody say amen? Oh, church, your tongue that is in your mouth and your new man is meant to be giving praises unto God, not cutting down your brother or your sister in Christ. Oh, your new tongue is to be talking about the blood, about the mercy, about the forgiveness, about the grace of God, and not about the faults of your brother or sister in Christ. Can somebody say hallelujah? For every kind of beast and bird and of serpent and of things is in the seas tamed and has been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. Somebody said no man. Oh, but I know, amen, hallelujah. I know God can tame the tongue. Hallelujah. A man cannot tame the tongue, but Christ Jesus, the man, can tame your tongue. And He'll do it by the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. For these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. And they shall speak with new tongues. Church, the bells of our new spiritual garments ought to be ringing out praise unto God, not just ringing out from our old flesh,
curses unto men. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, the tongue can no man tame, is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Watch this, church. Here's a picture of those two garments, your old garment or your new one. The one you need to put off is your old garment. The one you need to put on is your new garment. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth to the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody either say amen or oh me. Hallelujah. Church, I'm happy when you say amen, but I'm equally happy when you say oh me. Hallelujah. We'll confess our faults one to another. Hallelujah. You realize when the Bible's telling us in James that if we want to be healed, how many of you want to be healed from something in your body? Oh, you know, sometimes the things that hold us back from healing is forgiveness. Is forgiveness and grace and mercy for our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he says he wants to be healed. He said yes. He said confess your faults one to another. For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hallelujah. It doesn't avail much if you're not submitting to God. And it doesn't avail much if you're talking with the old bells of your old garment and you're cutting down your brother and sister in Christ.
Come on.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory. You can say oh me if you need to. Hallelujah. Somebody asked me one time, said, Pastor, why aren't all the messages on the website? I said, praise God for this very reason. Sometimes the Lord has a message just for this body particular. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not to be put out on the website for everybody in the world to hear. It's for you and me to deal with. Hallelujah. So that we might cast aside those sins that doth so easily beset us, so that we might run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Church, there's times that the Lord deals with us, and through the messages I feel in my spirit, I need to put it on the website. That's for everyone to hear. And then there's other times he gives me a message that's just for you, and he knew who would be here today and what you needed. He knew what you're dealing with in your life before you ever even came this morning. Hallelujah. And he's got a word for you. Woo! Praise God. I heard a voice behind me, Isaiah 1. I heard a voice behind me. Hallelujah. And what did it say? Hallelujah. It said, this is the way. This is the way. This is the way. Walk ye in it when you turn to the left and when you turn to the right. Oh, church, too many religions, too many preachers, too many pulpits are going to the left. Too many are going to the right. And too many have left aside the way, the truth, and the way which is found in Christ Jesus. If you got saved coming to the cross of Calvary and surrendering your all, hallelujah, how do you think you're going to stay saved? By staying at the cross of Calvary and surrendering your all. Hallelujah. If that's what it took to get saved, that'll be what it takes to keep you saved. Hallelujah. And if it took the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins, guess what, Christian? It'll still take the blood of Jesus to wash away your sins. And if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. And the love of the Father is not in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Church, I've told you this many times. I'll tell you again. You haven't arrived until you arrive. In the meantime, you're going to fight your old flesh. In the meantime, you're going to deal with that old man. You're going to do like the brother Paul, hallelujah, and brother Mark said it in a different way this morning. Those things that I would not, that I do. And that which I would do, that I do not. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Oh, I know through Jesus Christ, through His blood. That's how I'm going to be delivered. Oh, praise God. Church, if we're not careful, we sin toward God, we sin toward the ones we're saying evil things about, and we sin toward the ones that we're complaining to, and we then cause them to join in with us in our wringing of our old flesh's garments. Ring-a-ling-a-ding. Ring-a-ling-a-ding. Hear my song. Hear me sing. Ring-a-ling-a-ding. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Moo-moo-moo. Will somebody cry with me? You better put off that garment. I said, you better put off that garment. You better put on the garments of praise. When you hear your brother or your sister start to say something bad about your other brother or sister, you ought to say, "Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. Oh, thank God for the blood. It washes white as snow."
Yeah, but brother, I'm not as bad as they are, am I? How come you sinners, lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can set you free? Oh, for He saved the worst among you. Will He save a wretch like me?
When you get to thinking you're somebody, in God's eyes, you're nobody. When you get to thinking you're something and stand before God, you're nothing. You think you can stand before God and try to keep control of your own life, your own thoughts, and your own ways, you'll walk away with nothing. But when you go before Him and you surrender all, hallelujah, and you lay it all down at the cross of Calvary, and you say, "Lord, I can't do it without You. I am nothing. I know nothing. I have nothing. And I can do nothing." He says, "Oh yeah, now I'm ready to deposit another level, another layer of My mercy, grace, and forgiveness into your life." Yes. Come on.
And who don't want that?
Whoo, somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
James chapter 4. Oh, the same verse that he's talking about the old tongue. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, he says what? Listen. Ooh, he says, listen. He said, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Church, you know how we're double-minded? We're praising God on Sunday. How many of you felt His beautiful? I still feel His presence right now. Hallelujah. Praising God in heavenly places. If we're not careful Monday through Saturday, we're over here going, your priestly garments are not for you to wear on Sunday morning and for you to take off Monday on your way to work. You put them on and you leave them on. You put off that old stuff that wants to get you having your bells ringing something other than praises to God. Those bells ought to be ringing joy bells of praise unto God and what He has done for you. You see, church, if we're not careful, we take off sometimes our old garments and we fail to put on the new ones. And we become spiritually naked. What do you think Jesus meant when He was talking to the Laodicean church? He said, "You're wretched, poor, blind, miserable, and naked." Why naked? Because you've taken off your old garments, but you failed to put on the new ones. Or sometimes, church, we lay aside our new ones, put on the old ones, do some bad mouthing and decide we don't like it and take it off, and then we still walk around naked. How do you know, Pastor? Because praise isn't coming out of your mouth anymore for Jesus and what He has done. And if you had put back on those spiritual garments of righteousness, praise would be coming out of your mouth and not curses toward your brother.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I preach whatever God gives me to preach to you. Hallelujah. And if you can say, "Praise God, that's not me He's preaching to. Praise God, hallelujah, I'm happy." But if there's one of you that needs this word, I'm going to preach it to you. Amen. Whether it sounds good or not, I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you how you can make it and win an incorruptible crown. Hallelujah. We're not fighting for some earthly crown. We're not struggling for some earthly prize. We're not here so that some government dignitary might say, "Well, now you guys do good stuff. We want to give you 1,000 points of light." I want the one point of light, Jesus Christ, to be shining in my life. And I don't want to hide that light under the bushel of my flesh. I want it to be shining forth that all men might see, hallelujah, what Jesus has done for me. Can somebody say, "Praise the Lord"? So church, if we're not careful, we could be spiritually naked. We can be spiritually naked without those garments of righteousness on. Hallelujah. And recognize this, church. Before He said to them that they were naked, He said, "You're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind." You know what it takes before you get to be naked? Wretched. You know, some of the most wretched people in the world have no forgiveness in their life. Some of the most wretched people in the world have never a bit of grace or mercy for anybody they come in contact with. Instead of them sharing the love of God, they want to tear their life apart, and they may be hanging on to one last little shred of goodness, and are trying to cut that off with a sword that's so big we can barely wield it. Listen, church, you better get the love of God, the mercy and the grace of God shining off your priestly garments so that somebody you come in contact with might be able to reach out and touch the hem of your garment and find Jesus.
Lord, I want to be just like you, because he wants to be just like me. I want to be a holy example for his innocent eyes to see. Help me be a living Bible, Lord, that my little one can see. I want to be just like you, because he wants to be like me.
How many people do you come across in your life, they're looking at you, they want to be like you? They want to live the life you're living. They see the joy of your salvation. They see the peace that passes all understanding, even in the midst of a crazy, angry world. And they're reaching up to touch the hem of your garments. And right about that time, you switch your garments over to your old flesh, and your bells start cursing men when they ought to be praising God. You better put off those works of darkness and put on the works of light. I'm going to give you one more verse, or two more verses, maybe six more. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. How many believe the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart? You see, what are thoughts of your mind will become intents of your heart, and what are intents of your heart you will act out in your life. But the Word of God can cut it off before it ever even starts. You better let him work on your tongue. But ye have not so learned Christ. This is chapter 4, verse 20. If so be that ye have heard him, haven't you heard Jesus? Yes. You know what? I don't know why I'm breaking off on this, but I'm going to do it. I had somebody tell me one time, I said, you know what? My favorite teacher is Jesus. And they said, you know what? Who do you think you are? I said, nobody. Jesus assigned men to teach you. I said, yeah, but Jesus tells me in His Word He wants to teach me. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know your pastor here? I don't want you following me. I want you following Jesus.
Amen.
I want you following Jesus.
That's right.
And you ought to be like a Berean. You ought to have the Scriptures out listening when I'm preaching to you to see whether these things be so.
That's right. Amen.
And if it ain't so, Brother Cliff, you ought to meet me at the front door on the way out and say, Pastor, I just need some more clarification on this because you off target.
Come on, bro. That's good.
Oh, but you just said, Pastor, you're not supposed to use your ugly bells. That's not ugly bells. That's good bells. Hallelujah. That's praises unto God. You're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But what does this next verse tell us, church? It tells us what? Being taught by Jesus. You better be taught by Jesus. Yes, I'm not saying he's not using the ministry. He doesn't have the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists and the prophets and the apostles, a fivefold ministry to do the threefold things. Amen. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the church, and for the perfecting of the saints. Church, we need that. For he has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Praise God. How many of you believe this morning?
Amen.
You need the preaching. But you need the teaching by Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, can you prove that? Sure, it's right there in the very next verse. Praise God. Hallelujah. If so be you've heard him. How many of you heard Jesus?
Amen.
He spoke into your life when he said, come unto me.
Amen.
Did you hear him? Wasn't it the most beautiful voice you've ever heard?
Amen.
Sweetest words he ever said was, I forgive. Hallelujah. And have been taught by him. Who are you supposed to be taught by, church? You know, a lot of folks wait to come to church to get taught. You ought to be taught Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday we just join in together and enjoy what we got, what we learned from Jesus. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Don't you put your spiritual growth and education off on me. I'm going to teach you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to preach the Word of God to you. But Monday through Saturday, you better be growing onward and upward in Jesus. You better be seeking out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You've been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on. Everybody say, put on.
Put on.
The new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he gives us a description, church, of how we can tell if we've put on the new man or not. Or if we may have set aside the new man for a little while so that we may give place to the devil. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. How many of you know there's always two sides to a story?
Yeah.
And most of the time, the devil only tells one. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And it's like the old philosopher once said, he said, half a truth is no truth at all. Pastor, where are you going with this? Church, I'm telling you, God is calling His church to purify herself. Make herself ready. As I've told you before, and I'm going to tell you again, the bride, the church, the woman in the book of Revelation. We saw that first contraction. She's in childbirth now. Hallelujah. We don't have much time left. We better be going about the Father's business. We better be doing work while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. The first contraction has already taken place this year. She is readying for the second one, and it will be much stronger. It'll be severe. More so than the first one. Are you hearing me, church? And they will not stop. They're going to increase in intensity and in time between them until the birth of the man-child, and we are caught up to God and to His throne. Are you hearing me, church? So what is the Lord looking for in you? Is He looking for all those big outward sins that you came to Jesus at the foot of the cross? No. He's looking for those little inward sins that you sin sometimes against yourself. You sin against your brother and you sin against God when you open your mouth in the wrong way. You need to take that to the cross of Calvary too. Just like you did for your salvation. And get it covered in the blood. Hallelujah. So that your works and your words might be ringing out bells of praise for Jesus Christ and everything that He has done for us. Oh, hallelujah. Church, can we praise Him too much? Can we praise Him too much? No. Church, have we forgotten what it is like to be spiritually naked? Have we forgotten how rich that we are if we have His salvation? Have we forgotten how blessed we are to be walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The King of Heaven. And have we forgotten the riches and increase of goods? If we do have those, it has all come from Him. That all good and perfect gifts come from God, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift. Church, if we're not careful, we're going to fall in love with the riches and with the goods of this earth, and we're going to fall out of love with the giver of the goods. If we're not careful, church, we're going to get spiritual pride. What happened to I need You, Lord, more than words can say. I need You, Lord, more than yesterday. I need You, Lord, more than ever before. I need You, Lord. I need You, Lord. If we had let our bells of praise and the words coming out of our mouth be these words, crying out to Him and praising Him, calling out for more of Him. Oh, church, we've been so blessed by the Lord. Yes, and we can say we understand all the spiritual principles. We got the plan of salvation down. We've forgotten all about the man. that is attached to the plan. Church, if we're going to come before God, and we'll say this again, if we're going to come before God and think that we're going to retain control of any area of our life, we're going to walk away and be totally out of control. And the last area that He wants to control in your life is your tongue. It is that bell that rings on the high priest robes that you're wearing, that He gave you to wear. And for you to let those bells be ringing out the praises of your flesh instead of the praises of Christ and of His blood. Oh church, do not do despite to the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. I want to do something a little different and but very special this morning. I don't think we've ever done, but I'm going to do it. Sister Carol, I want you to come to the piano and I want you to begin to play "I'm So Glad That I'm a Part of the Family of God." And I want everybody, if you know Jesus this morning, you're not a visitor, you're just a family member that came to see us. Hallelujah. I want everybody to come across the front here and come around the right here and sit on these altars. Go all the way around just like that. Make a big circle for everyone that's here. And then I'm going to show you what we're going to do. I'm going to lead by example. Come on. Hallelujah.